Chapter 3. There's a Bible in front of you there. It should be in the table or in the chair in front of you if you don't have one. Cool thing about Proverbs is if you just kind of open in the middle of your book, it kind of hits into the Proverbs. If it's in Psalms, then go toward the end of the book. You know, if it's in the Song of Solomon, read it because it's interesting, and then go left. Sorry. Chapter 3. That's Proverbs chapter 3. Now, I'm not going to talk very long today, and I'll tell you in a second why, but let me get there. So we've been walking through. We'd like for you to be reading Proverbs with us. There's 31 chapters in Proverbs. There's 30 days in June. Today is the 10th. If you would like to catch up, you can. They're not very long. It would take you about 15 to 20 minutes to read the first 10 chapters of Proverbs. They're not very long. They're pretty short. And you can catch up and then read the rest of the book, a chapter a day, for the rest of the month. So we're reading that together. You can read along. If you've been reading along, you should be around chapter 10. Today we're going to be reading out of chapter 3. But Proverbs is good for things. In Proverbs chapter 1, it tells you that Proverbs, the book of Proverbs, is good for attaining wisdom. It's good for understanding. It's good for learning what is right and wrong. It's good for acquiring a disciplined life. And it's good for certain numbers of people. It's good for the simple. It's good for the young. It's good for the wise. It's good for those of us who've been around a while. It's actually good for anybody, for anyone who's willing to listen and read the words. And it gives us a starting point in chapter 1, verse 7. It says there's a place that you gain understanding and wisdom. And that is what it says is the fear of God, the understanding of who God is, how, you know, you being in awe of Him, understanding His power and all of those things that we learn about God when we read Scripture. And that's the beginning of gaining godly wisdom. And if you were at camp, I said something like this. I said, you can't get there from here if you don't start in the right place. You can't gain godly wisdom if you start in a place other than God. It's impossible. I think I said, you can't start with two chickens and end up with a duck. It's not possible. And then somebody mentioned a turducken. But then that's a whole other turkey duck thing. But you eat that. You don't make babies through that. You can't get there from here. You can't gain godly conclusions. You can't have a belief that God... You can't get to godly wisdom, what the Bible, book of Proverbs is talking about, unless you start with a belief and a reverent understanding of who God is and what He does and how He works through our lives. So then the book does a lot of comparing the fool to the wise. The fool is the one who's too arrogant, too proud to believe in God, to believe that God can do anything, or that God can speak into all situations. You're just too full of your own stuff. So it compares a lot. As you're reading through Proverbs with us, you'll see a lot of the talking to the fool and the wise. So if you're living out your life from that starting point, from a point where God is in a place of reverence and awe, and I understand who He is, if we start that, we begin to filter all of our life through that understanding. Then we have a place to start. We can get to godly wisdom, to a disciplined life, to a place where we are doing what God has called us to do when we start with that kind of filter. So we start filtering everything. We should filter all things. Our life, school, money, family, job, every decision we make. It doesn't matter how insignificant that decision might be. We should filter it from that place, that beginning place, that foundation. So we begin to live what the Proverbs talks about in chapter 3, a disciplined life. So I want to read chapter 3, 11 and 12 to you. So it says, my son, do not despise the Lord's discipline. Do not resent His rebuke. Because the Lord disciplines those He loves. As a father, the son He delights in. Verse 13 says, blessed are those who find wisdom, those who gain understanding. Now, if you want to flip over to chapter 12, it talks about this discipline again. It says, whoever loves discipline loves knowledge. But whoever hates correction, this is a cuss word in my house, is stupid. But Maggie left the room, so it's okay. I can say stupid. Whoever loves being disciplined, it's not just being disciplined like being spanked or, you know, being put in the corner or being put in timeout or however you were disciplined as a child. But it's having a life that's ordered and understands that we make all decisions based off our understanding of who God is. We know where we should start. We know that it matters how we live our life. Who loves discipline, loves knowledge, loves understanding, loves that they can make godly decisions, decisions that help make life go the way God wants it to go. But whoever hates it, whoever hates correction, is stupid. And that's hard. I mean, even as an adult, isn't it hard to get corrected as an adult? Because frankly, who are they to tell you what to do? You're an adult. And the hardest part about being corrected as an adult when you're like somewhere between 18 and 25, because you think you know everything, and then somebody corrects you, and you just thumb your nose at them and move on with life, because you clearly know more than they. If you know me, you probably think it was really easy for me to take correction. But I struggle with taking correction. I struggle with it now. People, well, Stephen, you shouldn't do those things. Well, why not? And then they speak godly wisdom into your life, and you're like, okay, you can either pause and take that in, or you can hate it. But according to this, it says you're stupid. If you hate it, you don't take it in, and you don't listen. Now, there's a commercial on TV that I've seen over the last couple of weeks that I want to show you. But it's a Gatorade commercial. So most of us don't think about life this way. We think about sports this way. We don't think about life this way. But let's watch the commercial. It'll take a couple seconds.
Your first move doesn't happen on the field. It happens before your opponent even sees you. It can leave you hanging, steal your spark. Your first move can jeopardize everything you've worked for. Or fuel it. Your first move can set up your success before you've even played the game.
Carb Energy of Fuel Athletes, Gatorade Prime, part of the G Series.
Right, so, you know, I don't know if Gatorade's any better for you than anything else, but according to Gatorade, it is. But I like the idea that is the move that you make when nobody else is looking, when nobody else is watching, how you live your life matters. The disciplined life, that the things that you do when you don't think anybody's watching matters. Now, obviously it matters in sports. You can't eat honey buns and be an elite athlete. I mean, that's just, I'm sorry. I know we all love honey buns. Those are nice to get out of the candy machine at work, but you can't eat that and then win a gold medal. It just, evidently you can eat Gatorade and win a gold medal, but you can't eat honey buns. If we live a disciplined life, it begins to matter how we live. What we put in our bodies matters. What we put into our minds matters. What we practice when nobody's watching matters. When we practice in front of our kids, when we live our life out in front of our family and our friends, matters. That begins to matter. Now, instead of going on and on and on and preaching to you a sermon about how life should matter, I got a text message about 2 weeks ago. It was from Kelsey. Kelsey's right here. And Kelsey asked me if she could tell her story in church. Well, she wanted to do it last weekend, but we were all kind of split up last week. Some of us were at camp, and some of us were down here. And I said, you know, it really wouldn't work out. It would not be the best time for last week, but why don't you come this week and do that? So I went and had had lunch with Kelsey and her friend Tara, and Tara's here with her husband Ryan. Right, Ryan. Okay, I wrote it down, so at least I got it right. And we talked about what they were going to come and say and do. And let me give you a piece of wisdom right now for those who are over the age of 25. So as I walked in to sit down, Tara says, "Oh, I thought he was 80. And I don't know what Kelsey said about me that made her sound like I was 80. But she said something. I don't know what it was. She didn't say. And I said, "Oh, okay. Well, here's the piece of wisdom. Never ask somebody under the age of 20 how old they think you are." Because I said, "Oh, well, she probably thinks I'm like, 30 or something." I said, "So how old do you think I am, Tara?" She goes, "I don't know, 50? And you're like, "Oh." My heart's still beating, right? I'm nowhere near 50, so thank you. But evidently, I look 50. So a piece of wisdom for you there. Never ask anybody under the age of 20 how old they think you are. Not a wise move. So the girls are going to come and tell you their story about what God has been doing in their life. Because they've had some life-changing things happen to them in the last couple of months, in the last year or so. And I would hope that this would help us understand that God does help us live a disciplined life. It does help us see that life change happens regardless of where you've been, what you've done, how old you are, any of those things. God can change your life. And we can begin to live a godly life and from a place of wisdom and a place of understanding. So Kelsey's going to come first, and she's going to tell a little bit of a story, and then she'll invite Tara up to come after that. I'm not sure if I left that on or not. Is it still red?
You did.
Okay. You want this?
No, sorry.
No, okay. Fantastic. All right.
So all right.
This is Kelsey, everyone.
Good morning, guys. All right, so a little nerve-wracking right now because most of you have known me since I was like yay big. I just wanted to go ahead and invite everybody to turn on their cell phones right now. Put them all on loud right now. Yep. All right. Well, the reason I'm asking you guys to do this is because I've actually been thinking a lot lately, and I've been talking to God, and he's been telling me, "Kelsey, I am a jealous God. I am a jealous God." And a lot of people nowadays, they get distracted by cell phones, by pagers, by computers, by who knows what else pops in when you're worshiping and or reading and or getting into your word. Well, as I say, I'm nervous. Basically, he told me, "Kelsey, I'm jealous when you are reading your Bible and you get a text message and you drop my word to go and read the text message and write whoever back it is." He's telling me to tell you guys that when Pastor Stephen's up here speaking, he's letting you guys know what's going on. And you guys sitting there on your guys' phones, on Facebook, or what else is there? Twitter and all that other stuff, it's making him jealous. He wants your full attention. He wants your love, all of you, in the moment of his worship. Also, leading into what else I was going to say, like 3 or 4 weeks ago, we had one of the, donations for the Bibles. Yeah, All right, but they came in, and wonderful donation, right? People getting Bibles, the speaking to the people, like, letting everybody know, Well, in my eyes, donations are right, but I feel like people should be actually getting out there and spreading the word. There's so many things going on that we are blind to, as in abortion, human sex trafficking, which I have seen both happen in my lifetime, and I'm only 18 years old. There's drugs going on, drugs being sold from 12-year-old kids. I've watched this. It's nerve-wracking. It's, wow, it takes a toll on you when you watch something like that. And it, to me, I feel like God is speaking to me because of my testimony and everything that's happened to me in the past couple months, that we need to stop this. We need to open our eyes and we need to realize and we need to tell these kids, we need to, the, just like Pastor Stephen was saying, the littlest things that we do in front of our children, they take that and they see it and they start to do it themselves. I've done it myself. I haven't been the best influence over the couple years to my little brothers and everybody. I'll go ahead with my testimony here. My testimony, since I was like 12 years old, I've been on drugs. Smoking pot every day, at least 2.5 ounces of weed every day to myself, all day, for the past, how old am I now? For the past 6 years, 7 years, whatever it is. Yeah, it's not the greatest thing to be doing to yourself. I've been involved in alcoholism. I had an alcohol problem. I would go and get really, really drunk and just wouldn't care, pass out wherever I was, let whatever happened to me happen. I've gotten way past that now, and I've actually, when I met Tara, first off, I started going to school, I started college, and I was still into all this, still doing the drugs, still drinking away, and I was in this class, because I'm going to school to become a veterinary technician. I was in this class, and this girl comes and sits next to me. Don't know her, never talked to her before in my life, and she just starts talking to me, and I'm like, all right, you know, whatever, make new friends. Okay. So I start talking to her, and over the weeks go by, she continues sitting next to me, and then we start talking about God and talking about how he's changed in her life, and she told me her testimony, and I started taking this in, and as I was taking it in, I started thinking, man, there's something I need to change. There's something I need to do. And so I started walking with God, started going to church more. Once again, back here. Hi, guys. And as I was doing this, my aunt Candy, most of you probably don't know her, but a few of you might, she invited me to go to the uprising in Salida. Well, in the midst of going to the uprising in Salida, I was like, I don't know about this. My aunt's kind of on fire for God, like crazy status, thinking she's all nuts, not even sure what's going on. And I go with her, and I walk in the church, and Tara's sitting there. Not even knowing, Tara's never told me that she went to the church, never, not knowing anything. She's sitting right there, and I'm all, Tara. And she's all, what are you doing here? And she's all, that's your aunt? And I'm all, yeah. And we're like, ugh, baffled, okay? So I came to a conclusion, and God spoke to me and was like, this is your wake-up call. Your friend, your new friend that isn't going to backstab you like others have, this is your wake-up call. And that's when I started going. And I had been to the Awakening before that and got prayed over, but that was just like renewing me. And so in the midst of all of this happening, I get a phone call one day from my mom. And she tells me her friend's really sick and in the hospital. And I'm freaking out because this is a really long-time friend. She babysitted me when I was really, really young, and I love her to death, still do. But she was in the hospital, and she had talked to my mom, but my mom tried calling her back, and she wasn't answering. So at this time, my mom was worried that something had happened. My mom came home, And we all went to the hospital, on this time thinking that something had already happened to her, that she had passed away, and that we missed our goodbyes and all of this. Freaking out, going to the hospital, I'm crying my eyes out, and not even knowing what's going to happen. We get to the hospital, run through the hospital, finally find where she's supposed to be at. And they tell us, oh, she's still here. And I'm thinking, oh, thank God, I get to say my goodbyes. If there is any goodbyes, I just wanted to pray for her. I was missing her, wanted to love on her. Finally get in the room, and she's sitting there laughing, telling her jokes like she always does. And weighed off the shoulder. And I was like, oh, Victoria. And I was so happy to see her. I just hugged her, and I couldn't let go. My mom's all, don't hurt her now. And I'm like, well, I can't help it. In the midst of holding her, she's sitting there and she's talking to everybody around us, and she's let's say she's 7'1". She's this tall woman, and she was thick, and she was beautiful. She had a long black hair. She was Indian, and seeing her now, she was kind of like skinny, like it had taken a toll on her being sick. And so seeing her, it kind of took a toll on me, but at the same time, I was just so happy to see her. We prayed over her, and after we prayed over her, and I was sitting there holding her, she goes, Kelsey. And this is before when I first started, like, walking with God, and I decided, all right, I'm just going to go with this and see where it takes me. And I was still smoking, still drinking, et cetera, et cetera. And I was thinking about quitting, but hadn't really decided yet. And this is what did it for me. She says, Kelsey. And I looked at her, tears in my eyes, tears in her eyes. And she goes, don't do drugs. Don't smoke pot. And don't drink alcohol. Because her having cirrhosis of the liver, she from being an alcoholic, she's telling me this, don't drink, don't smoke. And that just did it. That was the end of it. I'm done. I just, from her doing that, telling me that, I was done. And she ended up passing away a couple weeks after that. But that really took a toll on me, because I was sitting here doing this for so many years, had gotten in the routine of doing it every day. And this woman that has known me my whole life, pretty much, babysitted me since I was like 5, is telling me this. Just totally took a toll on my heart. But in the process of all this, I just wanted to open your guys' eyes to something and let you guys know that He is working in you, whether you believe it or not. He is following you, whether you believe it or not, even if you are doing drugs, even if you are an alcoholic. Right now, I'm just going to hand the mic over to Tara. Thank you, guys.
Hi guys, I'm Tara Flory. I'm Kelsey's friend, and I'm so honored that I'm able to speak to you guys tonight and just share my testimony with you, and kind of just personally where I've come from in life. And it hasn't been easy, but I have a great God, and my God standing next to me. Amen. Okay, so I didn't have anything set in stone of what to say. I mean, I had things all over the board. That's just how I am. I write things down, and then I go off of it. So I guess to start with, this is my husband, Ryan, here, who came with me today. And he was in Afghanistan for a year. And we found out right before our marriage, like, he just engaged me. And a week later, they're like, oh, we need one more man. Great. And they called Ryan. So Ryan went for a year, and I'm a very independent woman. I've always been independent. I've come from a family background where I went to church, but I was looked down on it. I was grounded. I was like put in a box. I've had glass thrown at my face. I mean, you name it. Like, I've gone through so much, but the Lord has been standing next to me this whole entire time. But for the first time ever, I slipped. I had my moment of slipping. We're human, you know, we're gonna mess up. And Ryan's gone, and I just let depression slowly creep into my life, and I let bitterness, like, walk into my life, and I let anger, and then lies started to, like, come over me that weren't even true. And but in the midst of all that, even though I didn't know God was there, God was still there with me. And, man, thank God, because I don't know what I'd do without him. So finally I heard through Facebook about the Awakening 209 here in your town. I live in Modesto. And I don't know, like, it just happened through a mutual friend. And so I decided to show up, and I get lost the first time. Like, I get in Stockton, okay? How do you do that? How do you try to go to Manteca and end up in Stockton? It's me. So I got lost. And so I was like, okay, I'm even angrier, God. Like, I'm trying to go to your church. You're not letting me find this church. I found out it's a house. That's probably one of the reasons I couldn't find it. And so a month later, a month before Ryan gets home, I find the Awakening, and, you know, the message was great, really good, you know. It's probably one of the best I've ever heard, but that wasn't it for me. What was it for me is when he had an altar call, and he's just like, you know what, come to the front. Like, if you need prayer or whatever it is in your life, because, you know, we're not a perfect group, you know. We're going to need prayer. We're going to have to uplift each other. So I go to the front, and a guy prays over me, and he's just like, I didn't even tell them that I had anxiety. And this lady who's praying with him over me was just like, you have a lot of anxiety, don't you? And I was just like, yeah, how did you know? It's kind of weird. And so she prayed off anxiety. She prayed off depression off my life. And then the guy started just talking over my life. He's like, you work with children, don't you? I was like, yeah, I work with Build-A-Bear Workshop. Like, I work with kids all the time. He's like, you're going to be working with kids. Like, that's what you're meant to do. You're going to be working with the kids. And then the next thing he says, he's like, you've been talking about traveling a lot, haven't you? And I was like, yeah, I've been talking a lot with my husband. Like, we want to go to Australia and Italy and all kinds of places. And he's like, yeah, well, you're going to travel and you're going to, like, use it to help these kids. You're going to, like, show them the truth and you're going to show them the gospel even though you've gone through what you've gone through. And I was like, wow. And literally that just changed it all over again. Like, my relationship with the Lord was back. He put me in a stronghold place that I didn't deserve to be in. Like, none of us do. We don't deserve his love, but he loves us anyway. And he just wants to just show you this powerful love, you know? Like, he's not done retiring me. That's what he told me this week when I was praying for you guys. And I'm just so excited to be here to tell you this, because he's not done retiring you at whatever age you may be, you know? He wants to use you continuously. Like, you don't have to just sit in the pews. You guys can go out there and just minister to these people who, you know, are that just need our love. Like, that's what the body of Christ is. We're love, aren't we? And so, basically, God just showed me this verse. Matthew 11:30, if you want to turn there. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. I don't know, like, how many people know what the yoke is, but I'm just going to go over it so in case anyone doesn't know what that is. The definition of a yoke: a wooden cross piece that is fastened over two animals and attached to the plow or cart that they are pulled to. So I was like, what does that have to do with me? What does animals have to do with me? And God, like, I was just, like, half asleep, and all of a sudden, like, God woke me up and pretty much told me what this was all about in my spirit. And he was like, you're the animal in the plow, you know? Our life is the plow, and we're the animal pulling it. And then there's a missing spot, though. So here we are born into sin, and we're pulling the plow, and we don't have to do it alone, because you see, God carried the wooden cross piece to the cross for our sins. He didn't retire halfway. He died the whole way. You know, he could have asked his legion of angels to come down and save him after all that pain that he went through, but he didn't. He didn't do that. It says here that they even mocked him. The actual people in the church were mocking him. It says Matthew 27:41-43. Likewise, also, the chief priests mocking him with the scribes and the elders said, he saves others, himself he cannot save. If he be the king of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusts in God. Let him deliver him now, if he will have him, for he said, I am the Son of God. So here the church is mocking him. And you know what? I don't think the church really does that anymore. Like, we know our God is risen. Amen? Like, we know he's risen. But sometimes I think what we do nowadays is, like, we kind of put ourselves on a pedestal, and we kind of put other people outside the doors down, and we don't see that. Like, we want to uplift people. We want to love people. That's our whole calling, is just love in general, you know. If not the foundations of love, we are nothing. It says that in 1 Corinthians, you know. And basically, he is who he is. You know, he's going to be your deliverer, whether you believe it or not. He's going to be your counselor. That's where the second animal comes in. Like, God died on the cross, gave us the Holy Spirit, so that way we don't have to do it alone. It may be hard, because life is going to be hard, you know, we're going to be pulling that, but the Holy Spirit's like, it's okay, I'm here for you, I'm lifting you up, I'm going to guide you, I'm going to love you, you know, you're going to fall, but I'm going to pick you back up, and you're going to go on the narrow path, you know. They call it the narrow path for a reason. It's because so many people are like, this is just too hard, and they give up too early. Don't give up. Be encouraged. Today's an encouraging day, you know. Just stand up, you know. Get back up. It's not too late, and you're not unreachable, you know. A perfect and holy God can reach you. He's not ready for us to retire either till the day we die. And, you know, he loves you. I can't say it enough how much love is all of it, you know. I can speak of angels and of men, but have not love, I am nothing. I'm only a resounding gong, you know. We don't want to be that as the church. We want to be the bride of Christ. We want to be the lovers of Christ. And it's time to just open our eyes and see what God wants to do for us and start really getting in love with him again. It's time to go back to the basics. I love that, don't you? Like, just go back to the basics and start falling in love with him again, because he's already in love with you. Isn't that awesome? And so anyway, I just, like, want Kelsey to come up with me real quick as I'm looking at the time. And we're going to do something, like, a little bit different. And I don't go here, so I don't know what you normally do. But this is just where, like, God has led us as we've been praying for you guys and just loving on you guys, even though I've never met you. You guys are great, and I just thank you so much for this opportunity. If we could all just, like, close our eyes right now. I don't know if you guys know what the altar call is. What the altar is back in the Old Testament is, you know, God didn't come yet, so they would offer animals to God as the replacement of his blood, if that makes sense. And now we have that. He ripped the veil. Actually, open your eyes. I'm not done. The veil was torn from top to bottom when God died on the cross. This is the last thing I was going to say. Now, I don't know how many know about the veil, but the veil was 60 feet tall, and it was 30 feet wide, and it was 4 inches thick. And God's love was so powerful, it tore from top to bottom. If you don't know what the veil is, it held the Holy of Holies. And what the Holy of Holies was, is it held the presence of God. And now it's just to all of us. It was only meant for the priests, because God's blood hadn't been shed yet, but it's been shed. So just wanted to explain that. Okay, now we can close our eyes. All right, so we're going to make 3 different altar calls. And the first one is, if you've never been saved and you want to walk a life with the Holy Spirit by your side, who wants to be your counselor and guider, if you'll just raise your hands. No one's looking. It's just between you and God. So if you can just raise your hand. I'm not going to ask twice. I just want to ask once, you know, because it is what it is. It's not or it is. I see you. I see you. I see you. The second altar call is Christians in this room, because, you know, there's a lot of Christians. We're at church, right? There's people in here that are still dealing with things like depression, suicide, guilt, gossip, anger, whatever it may be that's tugging on your heart right now that might make you maybe lukewarm. Maybe you just want to, like, wake up again and just smell the roses. Just be with God, you know. Then raise your hand, you know. Raise your hand if you need to just get right with God. And if you feel a tugging,
keep your hands up, guys.
And if you feel a tugging at your heart or you're feeling kind of uncomfortable, that's just the Spirit saying this junk needs to go. So it's actually a really good feeling because we're going to handle it. The third altar call is sick in the body. If you are physically sick, if you have arthritis, if you have cancer, if you have a toothache, whatever it may be, God wants to heal you. We've seen healings. The things that me and Kelsey do on Friday nights is we go out to the streets in Modesto, and we hold free healing signs, and we've had people come up to us, and we pray for them. We've seen cancer go. We've seen arthritis go. We've seen several things. We have a great God, guys, don't we? Amen. We have a great God. And so right now, if you're sick and you just want God to touch you, if you just want prayer, this is what we're here for. This was our testimony. We're here to pray for you, you know? And so is your pastor. Your pastor loves you. So if you're sick and you just need to be touched or prayed for, go ahead and raise your hand. All right. Amen. So everyone who raised your hand, if we can have the band come up and just start praying. I see you guys, you know. We're a church, but we're an honest church, and that's great because honesty brings us to the next step. And, you know, God loves you, and he's going to touch you. So if we could all just stand right now as Kelsey leads us in prayer.
All right, guys. So we're going to do an altar call right now, and anybody that raised their hand and needs prayer right now, I would like to call you up here as the band plays, and we're going to pray for you. Don't be shy. Just come up if you need prayer. Right now, we're going to close in prayer right now real fast before the band starts. Dear Heavenly Father, I've seen so many things happen in my experience of living 18 years of life. And I know these people have seen way more than me, dear Heavenly Father. I pray fire, I pray love, I pray you as their strong post right now into their lives right now, dear Heavenly Father. I pray love and fire all into this church, dear Heavenly Father. I pray your angels around each and every one of them, and I pray your arms around all of them, dear Heavenly Father. I pray the blindness of them and anybody else for that matter, that there it be unlifted, that they see clearly, that they realize that there's more to this lukewarmness. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray it into all of them right now. In Jesus' name, amen. And I'd just like to call everybody up that raised their hands. Everybody.
Do it in your own timing, though. Feel free.